Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, July 19th, 2020. I'm reading these articles on Thursday, July 23rd. I'll begin with the latest articles from today and then work my way backward earlier into the week. July 23rd, San Angelo and Tom Green County report 83 new COVID-19 cases from staff reports. Tom Green County, July 23rd, 1,773 positive cases reported. 83 new positive cases. 954 patients being monitored. 14 deaths. 40 currently hospitalized. Tom Green County Commissioners take measures to annex jail for safety reasons, by Elena Edgen. The Tom Green County Commissioners Court has approved an engineering group to survey the county detention facility, an early step in potentially annexing the facility into city limits. On Tuesday, July 21st, the Commissioners Court heard a motion to allow SKG Engineering to survey the detention center. The center was not annexed originally, so the county could apply for a grant, which it did not receive. As it stands right now, the new detention center is outside the city limits, and therefore the fire department responsible for responding is East Concho Volunteer Fire Department, said Rick Bacon, Precinct 3 Commissioner. I think they've addressed to the county judge some concerns about their ability to handle that facility. Due to the concerns, the court decided to begin the annexation process so the San Angelo Fire Department would be the first responders for the center. This will not affect the 4-H or shooting ranges used by the sheriff's office, commissioners said. The motion was approved unanimously. Angelo Axe House opening for business on July 23rd with BYOB policy, by Rosanna Aguilera. The Angelo Axe House is opening at 6 p.m. July 23rd. You can make a booking online at angeloaxehouse.com or walk in and reserve a lane. Angelo Axe House, 2110 West Beauregard Avenue, will have 5 stations with 2 throwing boards that can fit up to 12 people and a 6th station with 3 boards fitting up to 15 people. Owners of the house are Tiffany Nelson, Cody Nelson, Jennifer Baker, and Cody Helton. We like going out and traveling, so we decided we should bring something here to San Angelo, Tiffany said. We have all been axe throwing and knew there wasn't anything like that here, so we decided to open this up. The house will be open from 6 to 10 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Friday, noon to 12 a.m. Saturday, and 12 to 8 p.m. Sunday. Upon checking in, customers will sign a liability waiver, then will proceed to a station where a coach will instruct everyone on how to throw an axe. Participants must be age 8 or older. 2 people will throw at the same time, 3 times in a row. We play games of point systems, Tiffany said. We will have regulars who will probably do their own thing, but for the first timers, we will teach them some games, explain everything, and have some fun. Customers will play and pay by the hour. Per person, it's $22.50 every hour. If someone doesn't want to play that next hour and just sit, then it's $10 to hang out and hold your spot, Tiffany said. The house will have a BYOB policy for beer and wine, but will also serve soft drinks and snacks. There will also be a children's station with a safer version of the game, as well as Jenga and cornhole. San Angelo Elks Lodge to host garage sale to raise funds for electronic sign, by Rosanna Aguilera. San Angelo Elks Lodge is hosting a garage sale to raise funds for an electronic sign. San Angelo Elks Lodge, number 1880, will have the sale August 1st at 2121 South Chadburn Street. Items will be sold from 8 a.m. until noon. We will be asking people to use a mask and use good judgment on social distancing, according to a news release. The lodge will accept items for the garage sale through Friday, July 31st. Proceeds from this sale will help fund the purchase of our electronic sign for the lodge. For more information and to make arrangements to drop items off, call 325-227-6920. San Angelo ISD approves $1,000 increase for teachers, raises for all staff, by Elena Edgen. San Angelo ISD has approved a pay raise for staff across the board Monday, which includes increases in health contributions and salaries. On Monday, July 20th, the school board looked at three options to give district employees some extra money for the 2020-2021 school year. After looking at the options, the board approved one that would give everyone a raise, including $1,000 for teachers. "We're trying to do something that's kind of a cost of living adjustment," said Dr. George McFarland, assistant superintendent. "We recognize that even though the economy is going through tough times, prices aren't staying stable." The district employs 1,037 people in the T family, which includes teachers, coaches, librarians, counselors, coordinators, facilitators, and interventionalists. All of the employees in this group will receive a $1,000 pay increase. The starting salary for new educators will not change. All district staff and employees will get a 1% adjustment to pay range and a 1.5% pay increase to those in the midpoint group. All staff will continue to receive a $500 insurance supplement if they are on the district's health program and $390 as a monthly health insurance contribution, which is $165 more than the state requires districts to cover. The decision also includes a 1% adjustment to pay ranges and a 1.5% midpoint general pay increase for eligible employees in the administrative professional, information technology, clerical paraprofessional, and manual trade job families. Revisions to the district's pay plan for temporary, seasonal, and extra duty positions and stipends. This will cost $1.82 million, which fits within the budget and will not affect the district's funding amounts, according to Monday's presentation. The board also recognized that they pay less than other comparable schools and discussed possibly raising the starting base amount in the future. Food donation of 41,000 pounds delivered to San Angelo and Abilene Food Banks, by Rosanna Aguilera. A large food donation of 41,000 pounds was brought to the food banks in San Angelo and Abilene from Utah. The donation came from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City, Utah. The 53-foot semi-truck was loaded with shelf-stable food. The Food Bank of West Central Texas in Abilene was the first recipient, where half of the food shipment was unloaded by local volunteers and missionaries. The semi-truck then delivered the second half of the food to the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank in San Angelo, where local volunteers and missionaries there will work with nonprofit community leaders to help stock the shelves to alleviate hunger. Kenneth Smith, Bishop of San Angelo's Second Ward Congregation, said he was happy to help and be a part of the mission. "We want to help fight hunger and give a sense of hope to people in the community," Smith said. "We love working with them because they are so competent. Although we can produce a lot of food, I don't think we are that competent in distributing it." Smith said the Salt Lake City Church is in coordination with all the food banks throughout America. About 10 tons of food goes to each food bank. More information about the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank can be found online at conchovalleyfoodbank.org or by calling 325-655-3231. Tom Green County convict, sentenced in 1992 murder, dies from COVID-19 in prison, by Elena Edgen. A man convicted in the 1992 murder of Peggy Jones in San Angelo has died after testing positive for COVID-19, according to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Frederick Frank Ebenall, also known as Fred Earl Bell, was 28 years into his 48-year sentence in the shooting death of his girlfriend on January 18, 1992. Ebenall, 76, had been in the Telford unit in New Boston, a town near the Texas-Arkansas border. He began showing COVID-19 symptoms April 18th and tested positive. Less than a week later, on April 23rd, Ebenall died. Ebenall's family refused an autopsy, but the TDCJ suspect COVID-19 contributed to his death. Abuse, jealousy, and alcohol ends in shooting death of Peggy Jones. Around 6:40 p.m. January 18, 1992, San Angelo police were called to the 1600 block of Presser Street in reference to a dead body. Upon arrival at the East San Angelo house, officers found 54-year-old Peggy Jones with a shotgun wound to the face, laying across a bed. Ebenall and another woman who lived in the home were present when police arrived. Ebenall told officers he had been loading a shell into the shotgun in the kitchen when the gun went off, killing Jones in the adjacent bedroom. The woman, who rented the home from Ebenall, testified Ebenall instructed her to tell police it was an accident, according to archived articles. Investigators revealed Ebenall bought the 18.5-inch barrel shotgun a week earlier under the female tenant's name. He could not legally buy a gun due to a prior murder conviction in El Paso County in 1982. El Paso newspaper archives show a 39-year-old drifter named Fred Bell Ebenall was convicted in the murder of 43-year-old Bobby Allen Odell, whose throat was slit in a downtown El Paso alley. Another witness stated Ebenall said the gun was for Ray and for Peggy, too, according to a July 21, 1992 Standard Times article. He believed Jones had been seeing Ray romantically. The tenant testified Ebenall was abusive and had been arguing with Jones the day of the murder, records state. During the trial, jurors heard a 911 call where Ebenall stated, "I killed her." A Bexar County medical examiner told the court that the shot was fired 3 to 6 feet away from Ebenall. The trial also revealed the room where Jones was killed had splatters of blood and tissue, but her clothes did not, indicating she was shot at close range, further dismantling Ebenall's accidental shooting story. The defense hinged on the gun being defective and that Ebenall acted out of sudden passion due to drinking and Jones had reached for the gun. As the trial neared its end, the jury deliberated for 5 hours before finding him guguilty of murder. On July 24, 1992, Ebenall was sentenced to 48 years in prison. Jones's family expressed their disappointment with the decision that Ebenall would not receive life in prison. "Mr. Ebenall should never walk free again," said Patricia Pearson, Jones's daughter. Pearson had planned to come to San Angelo in March of that year to help Jones leave the abusive relationship. "He killed my chance to ever help her." Shanna Freeman, Jones's daughter-in-law, reiterated that Jones wanted out of the relationship. "She was an adult and her mind was being manipulated by this man," Freeman said. "She wanted away from him as much as we did. She just didn't know how to." Ebenall tried to sue the family for share of Jones's estate. An April 3, 1994 article showed that Ebenall tried to sue the family for $15,000 of Jones's estate. He claimed he was her common-law husband and was entitled to a portion of her estate. Ebenall added he had been financially supporting her from 1989 until her death. Acting as his own lawyer, he filed the lawsuit in March 1994. Jones did not leave a will, and the family's lawyer branded the lawsuit as frivolous, according to the article. Jones's children told the court they had $18,000 left after paying for Jones's bills. Plateau Brewing Company takes next steps to opening in downtown San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. Plateau Brewing Company takes the next steps to opening by installing equipment. Plateau Brewing Company will be at 212 and 214 South Concho Street, with the brew floor at 212 and the tap room at 214. The building was constructed in 1905 and has served as both a deli and a barbershop. Brewing equipment was delivered Thursday, July 23rd, getting the business a step closer to opening. Michael Choate, general counsel and one of four partners, said they have not selected a firm opening date, but hope to open this year. "We are definitely on schedule," Choate said. "Things are definitely moving forward, and we are absolutely still coming to San Angelo." Choate said the next step is getting the equipment hooked up and getting familiar with the products. Amid COVID-19, Choate said the partners have been looking at no-contact transactions, such as online ordering and pickup. Apart from a couple of investors backing out, Choate said they have not been set back due to the pandemic. "We are in an economic crisis, but we still have a committed group of investors," Choate said. "I count myself and the business lucky. At a time where people are suffering and hurting, strangely enough for us, we are not really at a point where COVID can hurt our business. If we had been open when it all hit, then I would be singing a different tune." The brewing business will operate with a philosophy centered on three C's: craft, community, and conversation, say the owners. "Every day, more and more, we express the community part," Choate said. "We have to be together apart, so we are trying to do our best to give San Angelo something to rally around." Indictment states Camp Woodman recorded sex, charged with San Angelo sexual assault, by Elena Edgen. A Camp Woodman has been indicted after a woman in San Angelo told officers she saw a light, like a phone's flashlight, while she was sexually assaulted, according to court documents. On March 12, 2020, police were dispatched to a sexual assault on A&M Street. Several hours later, a woman contacted police. She stated she saw a light from the man's phone and could hear his moaning in the video playback, according to an arrest affidavit. Officers seized the phone and found several images and phone activity matching the woman's statement. The man also told officers he had used the phone to record a previous sexual encounter with another woman, records state. Investigators discovered there were missing media files from the time of the assault and constant access and use of files by the man. James Kyle Floyd, 19, was arrested March 26th on suspicion of invasive recording. He was released on a $7,500 bond the following day. An indictment filed July 8th charged Floyd with sexual assault, a second-degree felony punishable by up to 20 years in jail, and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The indictment did not mention the recording. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for 8:30 a.m. September 9, 2020, in the 119th District Court, according to court records. Angelo State University eliminates spring break 2021 amid COVID-19 concerns, by Elena Edgen. As COVID-19 cases grow in San Angelo and education institutions try to plan for the upcoming school year, Angelo State University has announced that spring break 2021 is gone, according to a news release from the university. ASU made this decision as part of its effort to slow the potential spread of COVID-19. The university also recognized that this is an unprecedented change to the university calendar. The spring 2021 semester will start on January 25th and will end on May 14th. High school dual credit courses will follow their high school schedules, according to the release. Napoli's Italian restaurant moving into former Zettner's Daughter building, by Rosanna Aguilera. Napoli's Italian restaurant announced Tuesday, June 2nd, it is moving into the former Zettner's Daughter building. The restaurant announced it would be closed for good on May 7, 2020, after being closed for nearly 3 months due to COVID-19. Customers received the news Tuesday. That was not the case anymore. Today, Napoli's officially took over Zettner's Daughter, according to a Facebook post from the restaurant. According to Facebook comments, owner Beckham Zika said the new location will open at the beginning of August. Affidavit states, anonymous tip leads to one arrest in vape theft, man found hiding behind fence, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after police found a group of people hiding behind a fence by a convenience store, which had been broken into moments before, according to an arrest affidavit. On July 16th, police received an anonymous tip that a convenience store in the 2700 block of Sunset Drive. The anonymous caller reported broken glass and gave a description of people entering the store, records state. Upon arrival, an officer noticed multiple people trying to hide by a fence behind the store. The group matched the caller's description and were carrying items. The officer approached and the group ran off, according to the affidavit. The officer caught one member of the group who had thrown a rock through the store's window, according to the store's video surveillance. The video showed the man taking items from the closed store, records state. The officer attempted to interview the man, but reported the man was too intoxicated on alcohol. In a later interview, the man told the officer that he did break the glass, entered the store, and stole vape products, according to the affidavit. He refused to give the identities of the other people with him. The stolen items included two packages of NJ 4-pack vaping devices and four packages of NJ 5-pack menthol pods, records state. Marshall Connor Lara, 18, was arrested Thursday, July 16th, on suspicion of evading arrest, detention, possession of marijuana, and burglary of a building. He also had two counts of unauthorized absence from a correctional facility and two warrants for going off bond, according to online jail records. Lara remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $9,000 bond as of 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, July 22nd, according to online jail records. San Angelo Mayor says, "Each of you play a part in stopping the coronavirus," by Elena Edgen. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner issued the following statement during the city council meeting July 21st. "Community spread is in the hands of our community. Our citizens, each and every one of you, play a part in stopping community spread. If you care about our local economy, if you care about our family-owned businesses, your hairdresser, your barber, your nail technician, then you should care about whether you are playing a part in the community spread of COVID-19. If you care about your neighbors, coworkers, friends, family, and fellow citizens, then we need each of you to take personal responsibility for your actions. Community spread happens in your front yard, your backyard, your street, and your living room. Going outside does not stop the spread. Community spread happens at house parties, pool parties, backyard parties, and street parties. Each of you are accountable for your actions, and each of you play a part in stopping the community spread. Mask or no mask, we definitely know people have strong beliefs concerning wearing masks, positively and negatively. Yes, we know in March the news reported that masks are unnecessary. Why was that reported? It was to make sure our health professionals had plenty of PPE, personal protection equipment, or face masks, gloves, medical gowns available for the hospitals, for the doctors, and the nurses. The controversy continues on mask wearing, but I ask, is it too much to ask in a time when we should be asking for the best in everyone? We know medical issues prevent people from wearing masks. We know people believe we have infringed upon their constitutional rights. However, by not wearing a mask, you may be endangering others, which in turn endangers small businesses. The debate on wearing masks will continue, but I ask you, if your doctor tells you that you have high blood pressure, do you wait to react until you have a heart attack to listen to his advice? With that being said, we cannot afford another shutdown in San Angelo or Tom Green County. Tom Green County is considered a hot zone, or red zone, meaning our increase in cases and our positivity rate put us in a category that we should not be proud of. 2 weeks ago, our 7-day positivity rate was 25.8%. This past week, it was 31.3% positivity. The state considers any positivity rate above 10% to be a cause for concern. On May 1st, we had 58 positive cases and one death. Tuesday, July 21st, we have 1,560 positive cases and 13 deaths. Many people have said that the number of deaths relative to the number of positive cases, that they would take those odds any day in Las Vegas. If you are making that gamble, you are not only risking your life, but others as well. The number of deaths, however, is not the only impact on our community. The virus has impacted lives financially, emotionally, and mentally. If someone tests positive, there is a loss of income, medical bills, and potential long-term impact on one's health. Those hospitalized end up with substantial hospital bills with or without insurance and no income. If you work for someone and have tested positive, then you impact your employer's business, which could lead to closing the business for a two-week time period. The business then, due to loss of income, is forced to lay off more employees. It is incredibly selfish of you as an individual to think only of yourself. I do not want our city to be a city that Governor Greg Abbott shuts down due to our positivity rate. I do not want him to declare any more categories of business to shut down or occupancy reduced. I believe all businesses are essential to our local economy and essential to a family's livelihood. We should not be in the business of picking or choosing which businesses or essential services should be open or closed. Every business is important in terms of services or product offered, family income, employment, and reinvestment back into our economy. But once again, it is in your hands as a business owner or an employee or a customer. So if you are going to your hairdresser, your nail technician, your barber, or your favorite retail store, remember to wear a mask and practice 6 feet social distancing. Major big box retailers are mandating masks as they know their employees deserve the extra protection from being exposed from possible asymptomatic customers or individuals who do not care if they expose someone else to the virus. Our statistics show a heavy impact of positive cases in our Hispanic community. Of the total positive cases, 55% of positive cases are Hispanic people. We have, over the past 2 weeks, worked to get the community spread message out to the Hispanic community. We now report the daily numbers and information on COVID-19 in Spanish. We have asked our Hispanic community leaders to help in the messaging as well, utilizing Facebook, YouTube, and SATV to get messages out in Spanish. We have also reached out to the Hispanic radio station to help us in communicating the message on how to stop the community spread. Our largest age group testing positive is the 20 to 29-year-olds. Even the 0 to 19-year-olds are testing positive greater than our 50 to 59-year-olds. The 0 to 19 age group has more positive cases than the 60 to 69 and the 70-plus age group. They might not have the strong symptoms or health impact as the older age categories, but the 20 to 29-year-olds are a major problem in regard to community spread. Why would you want to risk giving it to your parents or grandparents? We know the community needs faster results from testing. The longer it takes to get results from testing, the longer one has to be away from work. Shannon announced that they have purchased more of the Sophia tests that will produce faster results. This will make a big difference to help stop community spread and to limit the impact on family finances. Lisa Curry, owner of the Waterford, announced she can now administer antibody tests, and as of this Wednesday, will be able to administer PCR tests with the 24 to 48 hours results. She cannot take insurance, but the ability to get faster results is important. So, what else are we doing as a city? I have created a working group to review TABC licensing to determine if we can get support for more categories of licenses other than just the 51%, etc. I believe we need to be able to separate wine bars, live entertainment venues, beer pubs, vineyards, tasting rooms from the simple 51%. Too many businesses were impacted and forced to close due to a few bad apples who abused the guidelines. In sports, even the opponents that are better rated or have a better record, you still go to the game with a strategy or game plan to win. Your coach will not allow you to throw in the towel before the game even starts. This spring season, many athletes in junior high, high school, and college have had to give up their passion for competitive sports. So many athletes lost their big moment to showcase their talent and perhaps earn an opportunity to get a scholarship and be accepted at a school of their choice. We do not want to be in the business of canceling events. Those are difficult, emotional decisions that are very hard to make. But for the San Angelo community, we must make the tough decisions that we believe will help us win against COVID-19. With rising hospitalizations, positivity rates, and more deaths, the best game plan will always be the strategy that gets us to the finish line and protects the greatest number of citizens. We need to win this game. What we are going to have to do is to learn to live with COVID-19. Whatever it takes, we must understand the precautions that must be in place to ensure safety in providing services, safety in living our lives, and making sure that we maintain and protect the freedoms we have always enjoyed as Americans. This virus cannot be used to take away our cherished freedoms, but we also know that in order to continue to enjoy our freedoms, every citizen must do their part in helping stop the spread. I ask for your help in making San Angelo a city that takes pride in standing tall and doing the right thing to protect our families, friends, neighbors, and citizens. San Angelo has always been a city to take care of its fellow citizens. Our businesses need our support. Our local businesses' success depends on you as citizens to help them survive by doing the right thing. Wear a mask, social distance, and remember, it is in your sanitized hands. Want to catch San Angelo's Friday Night Football live from home? Here's How You Can Stream, by Elena Edgen. Despite the constantly changing future of high school sports during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, the San Angelo ISD board remained hopeful that football would go on and took measures to help fans see the action. On Monday, July 20th, the school board approved a motion to allow Concho Sports Network to live stream Lakeview and Central High football games for the 2020 season. Due to COVID-19 and all the different things that are going on right now, the UIL has decided they will allow live streaming because of the lack of access that we may end up having once football, if it does, start, said Jason Henry, director of purchasing for the district. Concho Sports Network, owned by a district graduate, was the sole bid for video streaming rights for Central and Lakeview home football games. The board's approval will allow fans to watch home games from home or on the go. Concho Sports Network will live stream games at conchosports.com, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Other options include Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Lone Star Gridiron. This service will come with no cost to the district or viewers. People can listen to the games on radio via Foster Communications and their sister stations. Away games would be filmed by organizations near where the game occurs, such as Lubbock streaming Lubbock games. Games will be filmed in high definition with 4 to 11 cameras, depending on the game. Other additions are pending. Other sporting events, fine arts, and academic activities could be streamed, pending department approval. There is an option in the proposal to extend the service for 3 additional 1-year terms. San Angelo ISD announces plan for input on renaming school. Here's How You Can Speak Out, by Elena Edgen. After several people gave their opinions on possibly renaming a San Angelo ISD middle school, the board announced that the public will have a say in the decision. During the school board meeting Monday evening, Superintendent Carl Detloff announced a plan to get the community's input on changing or not changing the name of Robert E. Lee Middle School. The school district released the following statement around 9:30 p.m. Monday. SAISD and our Board of Trustees has announced additional details on a collaborative plan called Engaging Equity to review the retention of the existing name or the renaming of Lee Middle School. We understand this is a sensitive topic that some members of our community care deeply about, so this plan is designed for us to hear from varied perspectives and unique voices. Together, we will navigate through this process to a positive outcome for our students, district, and community. The announcement came after six people, one of whom was against changing the name, spoke during the public comment section of the Monday meeting. The speakers included members of the San Angelo and Angelo State NAACP, a mother of SAISD students, and the ASU History Department Chair. How to participate. SAISD will offer focus groups, town halls, and surveys prior to making a decision in mid-October. Here's the schedule. August 4th, virtual focus groups. August 6th, virtual town hall meetings from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. August 26th through September 14th, online survey open to the public. September 1st, in-person focus groups. October 8th, Advisory Council Design Team will review data to determine the next steps. October 19th, proposal on retention or renaming action taken to the Board of Trustees for consideration. Town halls and focus groups will be led by Dr. Luz Martinez and Dr. Dawson Orr in English and Spanish. People wishing to attend the virtual town halls will be provided a link to the meeting. More details on participation will be released at a later date through the district's Facebook and at saisd.org/engaging equity. Artist paints mural of fallen soldier Vanessa Gulen near downtown San Angelo by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo artist painted a mural of fallen soldier Vanessa Gulen near downtown San Angelo in hopes people remember her story. Gulen was a U.S. Army soldier who authorities believe was killed April 22, 2020, inside an armory at Fort Hood by another soldier. Gulen had been missing since April 22nd until dismembered pieces of her remains were found buried along a nearby river June 30th. Authorities accused another soldier of killing her and attempting to dispose of her body. That soldier, Aaron Robinson, killed himself with a pistol as police approached him. Robinson's girlfriend, Cecilia Aguilar, was arrested and investigators have accused her of helping Robinson burn Gulen's remains. The mural is painted on the wall of Denada, 901 North Chadburn Street, next to a mural of Frida Kahlo. Both paintings were created by Inks Davila, who works at Dreams Don't Die Tattoo Shop. Owners of Denada, Laura Fuentes, and Rocio Pena said the artist took a trip to Fort Hood and came back inspired. "We wanted to take part in memorializing Vanessa," Fuentes said. "He did it out of the goodness of his heart with his time and money." The owner said they wanted the painting to be a sign that their business isn't going to forget or give up on Gulen's story. "We stand with her and her family," Fuentes said. "We want steps toward protecting our soldiers. We want to know that when our loved ones sign up for the military, that they are being protected." The owners also said their shop is a safe place for anyone of any race. "People can come here no matter what. Our doors are open to everyone," Fuentes said. San Angelo Council moves forward to sell part of Ford Ranch at under $2,000 an acre, by Elena Edgen. The city is set to sell another portion of the Ford Ranch, according to a city news release. After a closed session during the San Angelo City Council meeting, Tuesday, July 21st, the council announced the city would begin negotiations to sell 575 acres of the Ford Ranch. The land would be sold for no less than $1,950 per acre, according to the release. The council authorized the city to negotiate the sale of the property to Adam and Kimberly Esselor. In June 2020, the city accepted a contract for the future sale of 324 acres of the Ford Ranch, which had been marketed as the Ford Ranch Farm. This sale would be made at a minimum of $450,000, or $1,385 per acre, to a neighboring property owner, according to the release. San Angelo purchased the Ford Ranch's 32,841 acres in Melvin at $1,350 an acre, totaling $44 million, in November 2016. This was done in part to protect the city's stake in the Hickory Aquifer. San Angelo woman arrested after traffic stop leads to officer being assaulted, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo woman was arrested after a traffic stop led to a San Angelo police officer being assaulted. The San Angelo Police Department officer was patrolling the 1800 block of North Chadburn on Sunday, July 19th, when a vehicle failed to signal while turning, according to arrest records. Once pulled over, he saw the driver appeared intoxicated and attempted to conduct a field sobriety test. The driver was uncooperative, and the officer decided to place her under arrest. The officer placed her in handcuffs and put her into the back seat of his patrol car. While the officer attempted to fasten the safety belt onto the defendant, she slipped out of the handcuffs and struck him in the face with her right hand, causing him pain, according to the records. The officer removed her from the vehicle to try and handcuff her again when she resisted and kicked the officer in the leg. Jocelyn Hernandez, 21, was charged with assault on a public servant, resisting arrest, and driving while intoxicated, with a bond of $11,500. In Plein Air Art Competition, still scheduled for October in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. The 7th Annual In Plein Air Art Competition is still scheduled for October 2020 in San Angelo. We continue to hope that by October, the whole country will be in a much calmer and safer space, according to a news release. We know things will certainly be different, and our goal is to continue the success of this event in such a way that participants feel safe and comfortable. The event is on October 17th through the 25th, featuring many artists. The chosen artists can be found on YouTube. The sales of the event will again boost San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts children's programming, along with support of the artists. This year, the SAMHSA education team has produced thousands of art project packets available for drive-by pickup and video programming to keep kids all over the planet involved in learning creatively. The museum certainly appreciates your support and positive thoughts as we all weather this storm, the release states. We'll stay in touch as we move closer, and we'll be able to offer a bit more specifics on events and tickets. Coleman man dies after his motorcycle hits cow near Novice, by Laura Gutschke, Abilene Reporter News. Novice. A motorcyclist died early Sunday morning near here when his motorcycle struck a cow, according to a Texas Department of Public Safety news release. Rowdy Roy Escobar, 24, of Coleman, was driving a 2019 Suzuki motorcycle at about 1:45 a.m. on U.S. Highway 84, 3.2 miles east of Novice, when the vehicle collided with a cow in the roadway, the release said. Escobar and the vehicle came to rest in the North Bar Ditch. He was pronounced dead at the scene, and his body was taken to Stevens Funeral Home in Coleman, the release said. The crash is under investigation. Tips to Keeping an Indoor Herb Garden Alive, by Allison Watkins. Fresh homegrown herbs are wonderful to have handy for meal prep, craft projects, and gifts. And when it comes to cooking, it doesn't get more convenient than having the herbs right there in the kitchen, ready to snip when needed. Indoor herb gardens are popular and can be a nice feature in the kitchen, providing beauty, fresh fragrance, and interest. Not all herbs work indoors. While many herbs are easy to grow outdoors in the West Texas climate, It's important to remember that most herbs are not naturally suited to be houseplants. Many of the popular houseplants like pothos ivy and PC lily grow well indoors because they are adapted to shade, while most herbs require full sun. That's not to say it can't be done. With some knowledge and practice, an indoor herb garden can be successful. Start with finding the right spot where they can get 6 to 8 hours of direct sun, like a south-facing window. If that's not possible with natural sunlight, grow lights can be used to supplement. Keep the herbs from touching the window pane when temperatures are extremely high or low. Planters and proper watering important. Plant herbs in containers with drainage holes and use a peat moss-based potting mix instead of real soil. Most herbs need good drainage and will not grow well in overly wet conditions. The best way to water potted herbs is to take the plant to the sink and thoroughly soak the root ball, then let it completely drain before placing it back where it goes. When the soil feels dry to the touch, it's time to water again. The finger test is helpful because every home and plant is unique and will have different watering needs. Even the weather outside can affect water needs of houseplants. Dry, windy weather will increase the need for water, and cool, humid weather will decrease it. Drip trays can be used underneath the plant to protect tables and counters, but don't let them fill up with water that will wick back up to the plant. Size matters. Just about any herb can be started indoors, but not all can be permanently grown in small containers. Many herbs grow to be large plants, like sage or rosemary. So either stick to smaller plants, like basil, thyme, and parsley, or if growing larger plants, just plan to start over every so often to keep plants small and manageable for an indoor garden. Once they outgrow their container, they can be planted outside or given away. When using the herbs, don't harvest more than about 20 to 30% of the plant at a time. The leaves are necessary for photosynthesis, so give the plant time to grow back before picking again. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu. Now, here are a few letters to the editor. Opinion: we must do more to protect our children. Kudos to Esther Smith. San Angelo courts are not protecting the children of Tom Green County. What is to happen to the 3 children involved in a DWI crash June 28th? Broken bones, some very serious. Who has custody of these innocent children? Does this person that nearly killed them have contact with them? Are they going to be safe? Will counseling be available free for them? Night terrors will certainly haunt these children. They need help ASAP. Judges are obligated to make sure this happens. CNN has had several professionals addressing the concerns for children since the virus and lockdowns. These children are not in school. Thus, teachers who would generally observe abused and neglected children firsthand, who is checking on our children? Our neighbors, grandparents, sisters, brothers, able to make a safe outcry for help? Any cases that had been reported earlier, has Child Protective Services, law enforcement, checked on these children? Judges need to also follow up on current abuse, neglect cases in their courts. All children are precious. Our courts need to recognize at this critical time they need to do their job. B.H. Lashley, Hassell, San Angelo. Opinion: mask wearing doesn't infringe on rights, it's common decency. Opponents of mask wearing have declared being required to wear a mask in public infringes upon their constitutional rights. What specific part of the Constitution do they believe is being attacked? Their right to assemble and to protest remains intact. The government is not establishing any particular religion about masks. No one is being deprived of the right to vote because they don't wear a mask. No one is being exempted from habeas corpus trial by a jury of peers or the right of appeal for not wearing a mask. No one is being denied citizenship for not wearing a mask. No one is being denied federal benefits or protections for not wearing a mask. No one is even being asked not to drink alcohol. The Constitution's purpose is to establish law that protects the fundamental rights of citizens and to describe how our government is constructed and is to function. It says nothing about masks. It does emphasize the need to protect the well-being of all Americans. Laws about masks are not an attempt to control liberties, any more than laws requiring people to wear seatbelts or forbidding people from smoking on airplanes. It is about fundamental decency, the willingness to be considerate in the face of a serious, potentially fatal threat. Wearing a mask keeps people from shedding or exhaling virus particles into the air around them, where other people might inhale the virus. Wearing a mask breaks the chain of infection. If I wear my mask, I protect you as well as myself, and vice versa. If we don't commit to breaking the transmission chain wherever we can, COVID-19 will rage on, destroying jobs, destroying lives, destroying the fabric of American life. Stopping it is everybody's job. We cannot wait for a vaccine. Wearing a mask is not the equivalent of being shot at the beach at Normandy or standing in a breadline during the Depression. It's such a little thing with so much power to make things better. It's about doing the right thing for yourself, your family, your neighbors, and your country. Gene Simpson, San Angelo. Reader says San Angelo courts aren't protecting children. Often the Standard Times has articles about a father sexually abusing their own child, or a mother abusing their offspring, and the courts release these monsters to go back home and do it again. I do not understand that at all. How come no member of the court cares? Maybe those who work in the court system should read the Bible. Anyone who harms or kills a child will burn in hell. Most of the time, hell doesn't come soon enough for these monsters. I thought that's why we have a court system. God help our children, because they won't get it from the courts or justice system. Esther Smith, San Angelo. Reader says, look to history and hold a mirror to the U.S. Let's sterilize the entire country. Streets can only be letters or numbers. Schools, like big cities such as New York, can be PS1, PS2, etc. Parks, named after the nearest street. Tear down all the monuments, good or bad. It's all perception anyway. Change all groups to acronyms. Rename the entire country, too. It could be a group of states in the middle of the North American continent. AGOSITMONAC. Or just use map coordinates, since everyone has GPS. This will certainly eliminate all the ignorance in the country and the world, remove all conflicts and differences, and give everyone what is rightfully theirs. Peace will be restored. Paradise with no apples or snakes. Really? These are structures, symbols, relics, whose meanings differ from person to person and time to time. We live our lives according to the times and experiences in which we live. No one is still alive that experienced these historical events. There is no justification for passing judgment on someone when you have no knowledge of what they were experiencing. There is a very prominent book which reads, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Religious or not, this holds true today. As Winston Churchill stated, paraphrased, those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it. As a society, we are failing, and trying to erase evidence of our history will only expedite the ultimate demise of civilization. Look to history and the fall of empires, such as Egypt and Rome. Hold a mirror up to the USA, and it should scare everyone. We are humans, one human race. Live by the golden rule. Robin Dennell, San Angelo. Reader says healthcare lacking amid the coronavirus pandemic. There's a lot of coronavirus news, but it seldom addresses healthcare for the poorer members of our community. Texas has the largest number of uninsured people in the U.S. The state's total uninsured population stands at about 5 million, or about 18% of the population. To give the background, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was designed to extend Medicaid coverage to everybody living in or near poverty. To date, 14 states have not expanded Medicaid coverage. This includes Texas, and it missed an incredible deal. The federal government would have covered 100% of the program's cost for the first 3 years, and after that, 90% in perpetuity. It did aid low-income folks with inadequate prescription coverage on their existing insurance plans. My late sister was one of the beneficiaries. She and my brother, lifelong Republicans, disagreed when he was trashing Obamacare as usual. She told him very frankly that she couldn't have afforded her medication without it. Almost all of the people who have been left uninsured because their state won't expand Medicaid live in the South, half of them in Texas and Florida. It is disproportionately poor Black or Hispanic Americans who are paying the price. They are left unprotected from financial ruin in a medical emergency. Because of their lack of coverage, they are less likely to seek medical care until it's too late, and they are dying in disproportionate numbers. Even if they do survive, they face crippling debt if hospitalized, to the tune of $10,000 to $20,000 per person. On Friday, I read on my news feed, via CBS News, that the Trump administration filed a brief urging the Supreme Court to overturn the Affordable Care Act. This at a time when the government reported that 500,000 people who lost their health insurance amid the economic shutdown have gotten coverage through healthcare.gov. Overall, some 20 million Americans could lose their health coverage, and those with pre-existing health conditions would be put at risk if the court should agree with the administration's filing. An estimated 27 million people may have lost job-related coverage due to layoffs during the coronavirus crisis. Please bear this in mind when you vote in November. And if you believe that all lives matter, push legislators at the state and national level to expand Medicaid to help all Americans. Sue Chance, M.D., San Angelo. Reader says, Citizen Center, here to help San Angelo residents. My name is Michael Douglas Lepak. I am the founder of the Citizen Center at 1623 South Chadburn Street, and a citizen advocate promoting diversity in our community. I started the Citizen Center to reach out to our diverse community, which includes the Hispanic, LGBTQ, Black, and Asian communities. The idea came to me a while back because everyone is a citizen. Why can't we also be good neighbors? This center acts like a good neighbor to everyone. The center also focuses on identifying the needs of veterans and their benefits, individuals whose income is below the poverty line, individuals with little or no education or lacking employment skills, needing union representation and access to health care, or help with immigration and the naturalization process. The center wants to help people with citizen advocacy, women's rights, welfare, and social reforms, and we also participate in food drives for those in need. We are a melting pot, working together. We are a nonprofit organization taking care of one another, empowering people, and raising social awareness. We are all one people. We are supposed to help each other, regardless of the color of our skin and the language we speak. We are all citizens living in today's diverse society. The Center is an organization that promotes social innovation through community building. The Center is building a platform that helps engage citizens with their elected leaders, candidates, businesses, and nonprofits. Learn more about the Citizen Center by calling 325-232-4144. Michael Douglas Lepak, San Angelo.
Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.